As a SoCal kid, seeing USC be buns at football is painful.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Floyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball. The NBA preseason has kicked off and I'm going to be looking back at some of the interesting things over the first few days of games in the NBA preseason. Michael Bolton's ready.
Let's get to it.
Just make sure you did check out yesterday's show where we talked about the updated ranks over at ESPN and on Yahoo, and I released the first of the Locked On Dynasty Fantasy Basketball podcast as well, going over a couple of Dynasty trades and talking about the value of unicorn-type big men in the league now and in the future moving forward. Again, there's been a handful of games across the NBA preseason so far, so let's work out maybe what it means, what it doesn't mean, what's interesting and what we should be taking note of as we move forward. The number one thing I think we should be looking at is the Philadelphia 76ers and Markel Fultz starting the game ahead of JJ Redick. Now, this isn't locked in and set in stone as, you know, what's going to be happening moving forward, but the Sixers are going to fully evaluate this option of playing Fultz next to Simmons. Now, against Melbourne United, I would have hoped to have seen Fultz and or Simmons attempt at least 1-3. That wasn't the case, but Fultz in his 23 minutes, 14 points, 4 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks. Yeah, that's pretty impressive stuff, and that's one of the reasons we liked his fantasy value, the ability to get steals, assists and blocks. So even if the shooting doesn't come around, then there is still value there. Now, he hit 55% of his shots, a pull-up jumper was there, hit both of his free throws, so improvements definitely coming there. And if he finds himself as a starter or as a 28 or 29 minute per game sort of a player, then he is that top 100 sort of a guy for this season. Interestingly, TJ McConnell wasn't a part of the rotation. We had Jared Bayless preferred to him. Now, whether that was because Wilson Chandler was hurt and they needed a little bit more shooting out there. But yeah, McConnell was way down the rotation. So for a guy that played quite well last season. But remember, at the end of the regular season, McConnell was out of the rotation too when Fultz came back. He just took his spot in the playoffs. So that is something to monitor there, where your TJ McConnell value, which we thought maybe that could have an impact on Fultz depending on how things go. And Brown loves McConnell and all that sort of stuff, which is true. But it didn't have an impact in this game. Mike Muscala also outplayed Amir Johnson, got himself a triple one, looks pretty solid for deeper type leagues as that backup 4-5 guy, especially with Chandler hurting his hamstring. Simmons and Embiid did their thing for the Sixers, but the most important thing I think there was seeing Fultz in that starter role. I thought Redick was going to have a bit of a drop off this season anyway, and he had 13 points with nothing else in this game, and this game sort of, you know, I guess if he's moving to the bench and playing less than he did before, less ball handling responsibilities than he had last season, then his value is going to drop and he probably isn't going to be a standard league player. For the Celtics, they've played two games. Gordy Hayward played in both of them across three nights, so that's a really encouraging sign. He looks rusty. The shots aren't necessarily going in. He's got to work his rhythm back, and that's fine. But the guy hasn't played in 11 months, so you know, the fact that he's playing two nights out of three is a really encouraging sign, and you feel pretty good about him as a mid-round guy, and you should feel pretty bloody solid about Kawhi Leonard. We'll talk about him in a sec. Kyrie Irving, who's looked great in his first two games back, and looks like in mid-season form. I've talked about the injury plenty of times, or the fact that he was out last season. It wasn't an injury. It was a re-irritation due to a previous surgery. That problem got fixed. So it wasn't another structural issue, a bone issue, a ligament issue. It was nothing like that. So now that that's fixed, it's nothing. There's nothing to be bothered about there going forward. So that's a really encouraging sign. It also puts the brakes on Terry Rozier. If Irving's going to be healthy, Rozier is not going to have enough minutes to be an impact guy. Now, he played well across both preseason games, but I just don't think the minutes upside is there for him. Jason Tatum's efficiency was off a little bit in Boston as well. I worry a bit about that because last season he shot, you know, way better than what he did in college, and some regression was always bound to happen. They're 44% three-point shooter. You go, well, this probably can't continue, and that could drop off significantly, and that's why I do think he is being overdrafted at pick 40. Now, he could take a step forward, but where is he going to do it? Is his efficiency going to get better? Is he going to get more touches? And I think both of those things are highly unlikely, making it a little bit harder for Tatum to take that step forward that we would hope. Interesting, they did start their best five players, Tatum and Brown, Irving and Haywood, and Horford. Horford didn't play the second game because of a wrist issue. Aaron Baines started there. Now, Baines might start some games, especially opening night against the Sixers to match up against Embiid, but in general, it's going to be those five guys who take the majority of those starting lineups. Guys, Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Monday, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. And Tuesday, we have the former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joining Matt Williamson. Wednesday, Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus drops by. And Thursday, it's the great Mike Sander of ESPN. And then on Friday, to round out the week, you get Matt Williamson's picks for the weekend's game. So check out Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. The Hornets. Jeremy Lamb, the starter at shooting guard, he looked good across both games. I think you can peg him in for a starting role at this point. Malik Monk could still challenge, but I think it's going to be Lamb, and he is going to be a strong, strong play as a top 100 guy. 16 points in the first game. Or maybe it wasn't 16, maybe I'm just making that number up. 15 points, sorry, not too far off. And then the second game, he had 8, 6, and 4 in his 21 minutes. But I guess the story of the Hornets is the play of Miles Bridges. He had 10 and 8 in game 1, but a sparkling 23 and 6 in 28 minutes in game 2. He did do it on 75% shooting. That's not a realistic amount for him to be able to shoot, and we have to figure out where's he going to fit into the rotation. In game 2, there was no Marvin Williams and no Cody Zeller. In game 1, there was no Malik Monk. So somebody's going to miss out. Game 2, we also had Kid Gilchrist go off with a concussion injury. So if we look at the Hornets' rotation and expect James Borrego to play a 10-man rotation, where's Bridges going to fit in? Kemba Walker, Jeremy Lamb, Nick Batum, Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller. There's your starting five. Then on the bench, you've got Tony Parker, who didn't play game 2 as well. Malik Monk backing up Jeremy Lamb, almost definitely. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Frank Kaminsky, Bill Hernangómez. So where does Bridges fit in there? Does he take over from Michael Kidd-Gilchrist? Yeah, very possibly. Could he take minutes off Frank Kaminsky, who hasn't looked great in the preseason? Absolutely, he could do that. He played some center in this one. So there is an opportunity there. But is there an opportunity for him to get to 30 minutes per night? I think that's probably going to be pretty tough going for Bridges. I like Bridges coming, or in his freshman season at Michigan State. I soured a bit on him after his sophomore year. But he's showing more of the stuff that we saw from freshman Bridges versus sophomore Bridges so far in these first two games. And if he continues to play like this, it is going to be hard to keep him off the floor. But where are you doing it? Are you taking Batum or Lamb or Walker? Or is it Monk or Kidd-Gilchrist? Like, where are those minutes coming to add up to 30 for him to be a viable player in fantasy? And it seems like it might be tough for him to get there. So it could be one of these don't overreact to preseason, but it's going to be interesting to watch. Now, we haven't seen a Hornets team at full strength. So when Parker, when Marvin, when Cody Zeller are all back, where does he fit into the rotational hierarchy? If Kidd-Gilchrist is fit in the next game and everyone's ready to go, where are we seeing Bridges play? Is he the sixth man? Is he the ninth man? Is he the 11th man? That is going to be the big question, and we haven't been able to notice that. Monk out in the first one, then those other three guys out in the second game. So it is interesting. Bill Hernangómez was third string center in game 1, started game 3, but he did outplay Frank Kaminsky in started game 2. He did outplay Frank Kaminsky in game 1, and he's looked pretty good. His usual per minute self. I like him as a late round pick, same as Zeller, who, you know, blocked 3 shots in game 1. They put up some interesting numbers. So some of our rotational questions are sorted there, I think, with Lamb as the starting shooting guard, but the Bridges question is going to be something we need to watch out for over the coming days to see how that all works out. One of the other guys we're really keen to see throughout this preseason and how he would look was Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
He started for the Raptors. He looked fine out there, a bit rusty, 12 points in 19 minutes. Encouragingly, he got to the line 11 times. I think he's fine as a first-round pick. He's healthy. I have no problem taking him in the top 8 there. I'd take him ahead of Westbrook. I'd take him ahead of LeBron James. You have to debate what you want to do with Jokic or Curry. He's in that sort of mode. He could very easily be a top 5 guy, and I feel pretty good about him. The other interesting move the Raptors made was starting Serge Ibaka at center. They had CJ Miles at power forward. Looks like he was holding the place of the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He was Ananobi was out because of the death of his father. Ibaka started at center, and Valanciunas came off the bench. Now Valanciunas killed it, 17-7 with 3 steals and a block in 19 minutes, and he was a top 100 player last season in only 22 minutes per night. So even in a backup role, he is definitely a draftable player, and if he plays the 25-26 minutes, he will smash it regardless of if he's starting or coming off the bench. Ibaka wasn't impressive, 3 points, 12 minutes, 4 fouls. He really did struggle in that time. Didn't hit a field goal. All 3 of his points were from free throws. He's got some value, but I think he's a low upside, risky type of a player that I'd leave to a late round at very, very best for him. It also spells pretty decent trouble, I think, for Greggy Munro.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
If Valanciunas is going to be the second string centre, I just don't see where Munro is going to fit in on this team, and he's not going to be, I believe, an every night player for the Raptors. But Kawhi, I think, was the biggest story there, at least to see him out in the court, much to the chagrin of San Antonio Spurs fans, I'm sure. In Minnesota, no Jimmy Butler, so Derrick Rose started at shooting guard. No surprise there, he's the backup shooting guard. He had, as Derrick Rose aligned, as you could probably have, 16 points with 0 rebounds and 1 assist. He did have 2 steals, but he did it on 6 of 10 shooting, and that's part of the problem with Rose, and we saw that when he was a starter with the Knicks. He'd have these nights where he'd score a lot of points, and it looks good. 16 is a sexy number, no problem. But nothing else is there, and on the nights when he doesn't shoot 6 of 10, what else is he bringing you? Is he giving you 12 points with 1 rebound and 0 assists? Like, that's not useful in any stretch. And the likelihood of the Wolves getting some sort of a wing back in a trade for Jimmy Butler is pretty high, and that's going to limit what Rose can do, and I don't think you should be looking at him as a standard league guy. The other guy that impressed here was Josh Okogie, 10-5 in 20 minutes with a steal. But again, where is he fitting in? Let's assume that a wing is coming back in a Butler deal. Jeff Teague starting a point guard.
My name is Jeff.
You've got Andy Wiggins plus Butler trade wing. You've got Taj Gibson, you've got Karl Anthony Towns. There's your starters. And then Tom Thibodeau likes to use a 9-man rotation. So Tyus Jones as your backup point guard. Derrick Rose as your backup 2. And then you've got Anthony Tolliver as your backup 4. And Gorgie Dieng as your backup 5. And then that probably leaves Okogie as the 10th man in the rotation. We saw Shabazz Muhammad. We saw Marcus Georges Hunt in that 10th man role last season. And they played about 5 minutes per game. So that's clearly not going to be enough for Okogie to have that sort of an impact. Now, you can make that case and say, well, Butler gets traded, Okogie moves in. But that's assuming that nobody comes back in a Butler deal. We know that Tibbs, however you want to say it, hates rookies. So he's not going to come in and go, oh, that's all right. We're getting rid of Jim so that we can give 28 minutes to a rookie. Like, that's just not... Now, as much as you can say he'll love him for his defense, that's fine. Jimmy Butler played about 8 minutes per game as a rookie, and he loved him for his defense as well. So I don't think Okogie's going to come in and be an impactful guy, but he was impressive. Luol Deng did a few things. Kata Bates-Diop played okay as well. But, you know, if we're looking at a 10th man, it's probably going to be Deng who's that 10th man over Okogie anyway. So I don't think we should be getting too interested in that performance. Disappointingly, Derrick Rose took 10 shots while Karl Anthony Towns took only 8. Jeff Teague took 12 and Anthony Tolliver took 14. So, again, there is blame to go around. Towns needs to be more aggressive. Thibodeau needs to get those shots happening in Towns' direction. But it's frustrating when he goes 5 of 8 for 63% that he only takes 8 shots. That's a frustrating thing. It's still a pretty good line from Karl Anthony Towns there with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Locked On NBA, guys, never went away, and it's still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your local NBA podcast. Every Monday, I host it, and I get the local experts on for the biggest stories. And then you can stay with Locked On NBA all week long, daily 30-minute shows for everything going on in the NBA. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play Locked On NBA. Let's see what else happened across the preseason. Luka Doncic, everyone wanted to see Doncic in action. I'm sure Suns, Kings, Hawks fans weren't all that keen to see what they may have missed out on. Yes, it was against the Beijing Ducks, I know that. But he looked as good as you could have expected him to look. 30 minutes, 16 points, 6 rebounds, but impressively, he hit 3 threes and he had 3 blocks.
2 plus 2 is 4, minus 1, that's 3 quick maths.
He looked comfortable. He was running things. He was doing trick shots. He was in charge of everything out there. He is going to be bloody good. And it shouldn't be a surprise that the guy who dominated the EuroLeague at the age of 18 and won the MVP and the Final Four MVP, the guy that comes over and has everyone raving about just how good he looks in training camp and in practice, like Dirk Nowitzki saying this stuff, and then he goes out and does it again against whatever opposition is put in front of him, it's really hard to doubt that he's going to be able to do that. Now, of course, the NBA competition will ramp up and it might make things tougher for him, and you can say he looks doughy, and he does. You can say he looks sort of slow, and he does. But his brain is working at faster than, you know, pretty much every other player out there on the court majority of the time that he's there, and he's making shots, and he's playing solid defense, and he's making passes, and he's going to be a top 20 guy at some point, I believe, in this league. I think he might struggle to be a top 50 fantasy guy this year, but it's far from out of consideration, and he is a strong 60 to 70 type of draft guy. Really, really liked what I saw from Doncic. I was also impressed with Dennis Smith Jr., who worked off him very, very well. 60% shooting for Smitty, 6 assists, 16 points. He is still going to be able to put up his numbers, and he should be close to a top 100 guy this season. Doncic is going to do nothing but help him. This game, we had no Harrison Barnes. The pencil was out with a hamstring injury. No Dirk Nowitzki as well. So we had interesting front court rotation, more Dorian Finney-Smith, guys like Maxi Kleber getting bigger run, but yeah, Dwight Powell was out as well. So when those guys come back, that's going to mix up. But Doncic is going to be a power forward, and he's going to handle the ball, and he's going to do all these different things that he did. So I'm really, really pumped to see him put up that sort of performance and see where it can go from here. Grayson Allen for the Jazz, also a big surprise, 19 points in 22 minutes. 50% shooting, knocking down threes, played really good defense. Finding a role is going to be tough with Rick Rubio, Don Mitchell, Dante Exum there as well. He could very easily jump ahead of Exum. He could very easily jump ahead of Alec Burks, and he probably already is ahead of Alec Burks, but I don't think there's going to be much standard league value for Allen. I was down on him heading into Summer League. He outstripped my expectations there. Really readjusted what I thought he could be, and he looks really good. I know the Jazz are super high on him, and yeah, he looked like he could be a rotation guy from night one, just probably not going to be enough to have too much of a fantasy impact. Well, Jay Crowder looked good. He's going to be the backup three and backup four. I think he could jump back into top 120 value this season, especially if Derek Favors struggles somewhat or has any injuries, then Crowder could be someone that we pay a little bit more attention to than what we have in the past. And by in the past, I mean the last couple of days. Well, sorry, last season anyway. Lauri Markkanen, an injury update on him. Sprained elbow, out for about 8 weeks. That's 2 months. It's a decent chunk of the season. The Bulls are going to start Jabari Parker at power forward, and they did start Jabari Parker at power forward today. In their game against the New Orleans Pelicans, Parker looked pretty good, 15-8 in those 25 minutes. That let Punch Bob Shiplock Bob Portis to come off the bench in his usual role, because he sucks as a starter. He can't defend, but he did what he does always, and that is just jack up a ton of shots. 19 minutes, 19 shot attempts. 21 points is great output. As usual, you know, no blocks, you know, no assists, and this is what he's useful for. Look, he's going to have a marginal increase in role with Markkanen out, but it's not going to be this gigantic role. He's barely going to play any center. You're going to have Wendell Carter Jr. and Robin Lopez taking all those minutes, and you're going to have Jabari Parker playing as the four. So Portis is going to get 20, 22 minutes, 24 minutes a night maybe. He's not going to be pushing into a 31-minute, 30-minute a night role, I don't believe, with Markkanen sideline. The guys who are going to get the bigger bump in minutes are going to be Justin Holiday and Denzel the Hammer Valentine. Valentine was out with an ankle injury, so Justin Holiday started at small forward. We had Antonio Blakeney step up and look pretty good as well. And I think that Valentine and Holiday are going to be the starting small forward. One of those two guys, with Parker at the four and Portis on the bench, with maybe a marginal increase in his value. Zachy LaVine looked really good, 21-4. Yeah, strong shooting night. He won't shoot like that every night, but he looked pretty solid out there. And Carter looked good as well, 11-7. Really strong from him. He's going to be a top 100 guy at some point this season, and he's worth drafting in one of the later rounds just to see how long it's going to take him to get in there. But he's not going to play any power forward, so he's not going to get that boost there. The only boost that really comes, I guess, from his value is the fact that Portis will be playing more exclusively at power forward, or exclusively at power forward, leaving more of those center minutes. But it's basically going to be Lopez and Carter for the 48 minutes at center, Parker and Portis for the 48 minutes at power forward until Markkanen returns. And that also should put a little bit of a worry into that when Markkanen does return, where are Portis' minutes going to be? And maybe he becomes the backup center when Lopez has moved on, but there could be an issue there at some point. at some point for him. Now, onto the Heat and Hassan Whiteside. He looked really, really good. 20 and 13 with two steals and two blocks. That is a massive game. 80% shooting. He even went out and hit a three-pointer as well. The free throws sucked as usual. 3 of 6 from the line. Only 23 minutes. Now, that is really, really outsized type production. The 23 minutes might be all he gets in the regular season. But if he can do that, then he is clearly useful and he is strong in that 50 to 80 type of range. Could jump back up inside the top 30, but I worry that this is a little bit anomalous and may not quite be what we expect. But a pretty strong night from him. No Josh Richardson in this game for the Heat as well. While Derek Jones Jr., we keep hearing a lot of buzz about him. He had 4 points in 19 minutes with Deion Waiters out, but finding a spot in the rotation for him is going to be hard. Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Dwayne Wade, Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson. Like, where is he fitting in? Like, Waiters is out, sure, but that puts him into some sort of a backup role and not enough to really trouble the scorers too much. But what Jones can do, he blocks shots at a pretty high rate and the field goal percentage can be okay. I just worry about him as an NBA player, while Tyler Johnson and Kelly Olynyk, they both struggled for the Heat in this game. The other interesting thing I thought across some of the games from Sunday was looking at the San Antonio Spurs. We had Jakob Poeltl putting up some interesting numbers. Started the second half over Pau Gasol. He had 6 and 10 in his 19 minutes. He is absolutely a late round flyer type. I would definitely draft him over Pau. DeJounte Murray looked aggressive. Rudy Gay looked very good as well for the Spurs, and Gay is a top 100 type of a player. DeMar DeRozan didn't attempt a single three. Neither did LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that's something worth bearing in mind. Well, Derek White played more minutes than Pat Mills, and that is, again, there's that backup role behind DeRozan, behind Murray, who's going to fill it. White is definitely ascending, and I think that Mills is going to struggle to have much of a fantasy impact for this season, but we got some interesting signs there. Strong performance from Murray, strong from Poeltl, and if Poeltl is a 24-minute-per-night guy, he is a clear top 100 sort of a player, I believe, for this season coming up. Frankie Jackson from the New Orleans Pelicans, I thought he looked good in his first real NBA hit out. 16 points in 19 minutes. And probably Jarrett Jack didn't even get off the bench. So ahead of him, Ian Clark's the other guy there. But Jackson is an interesting deeper league guy behind Alfred Payton. And we saw that 12 minutes in summer league, he looked great. These 19 minutes here, he looked great. Took a shit ton of shots, but still looks solid in doing so. So he is a name just to keep on your radar. Julius Randle also went 15-5-5 with Nikola Mirotic out. He started. That was strong from him. And Etuan Moore did start over Solomon Hill. That's not locked in, but I don't think that Moore is a very, very good 12-team league type of target. So low in his upside, and the production, I think, will even be more limited this season than it was. Jahlil Okafor went for 8-7. With two blocks, which is pretty nice in 17 minutes, but injured his ankle late and is going to go have an MRI. I don't think we need to be looking too hardly at Okafor unless you're Stacey King, who thinks that in the playoffs, teams slow it down, so there's still a spot for Okafor, just someone you can throw it to down low to score. I don't know what NBA this guy has been watching, but it clearly hasn't been the one that's been on our screens for the last 6 years, because that is not how teams win in the playoffs at all, and it is absolutely baffling to me that these people are commentating and announcing and putting these opinions out there when they are so clearly 100% false. So shout out to you, Stacey. On the Lakers, JaVale McGee, really interesting performance from JaVale. 20 minutes, 17-7 with a block, 80%. Easy buckets all over the place for JaVale in LeBron James's Lakers debut. I was skeptical of his ability to play those 20 minutes a game. He got them. Fantastic. Absolutely a late round pick. No problem with that whatsoever. LeBron was okay in his time. Brandon Ingram looked pretty good. 16 points. Had two steals and a block as well. Didn't hit a three, but he looked good. Got some really open buckets, while Kentavious Caldwell-Pope started over Kyle Kuzma. And Kuzma had a Kuzma line. 15 points, shit efficiency, and very little else there in terms of the rebounds. A nice steal and a block. I think he's still getting overdrafted a bit, Kuzma. I didn't like the fact that Lance Stephenson played 21 minutes and scored 12 points. The shooting percentages aren't realistic for Lance. I'd much rather see Svi Mykhailiuk in that role. But it was interesting for me that Lance was in over Michael Beasley, who played only 6 minutes, with a lot of Kuzma at center type lineups, enabling a lack of Beasley and a lack of Zubats, who played only 7 minutes. So that was an interesting thing to come out of this Lakers lineup. There was no Lonzo Ball, and Flaming Mo Wagner was out as well. On the Nuggets side of things, I was just super encouraged by what we saw from Juancho Hernangómez. 19 points in 23 minutes, banging in threes. This was the guy that I really, really liked as a rookie. His illness at the start of last season killed his year, and he looked lost, but he looked fantastic here. I think he's more of a power forward. Trey Lyles is in that role, but they can sort of interchange. Really, really interested in Wancho. Loved him coming across. Loved him his rookie year. Wasn't so great yesterday. And they did start Torrey Craig instead of Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
Who was out with a hamstring, and they had Farton Will Barton move down to the two and Craig at the three. Craig offers nothing apart from defense. I'd much rather see Wancho get those minutes, and he clearly got the bulk of the minutes there. Monty Morris, also super impressive, replacing Isaiah Thomas. Morris is a great dynasty guy to look at, more for deeper leagues. Whether he can ever become a starter remains to be seen, but I think he can be a pretty strong backup, and he showed exactly why here. While Malik Beasley at least showed something, 12 points in 22 minutes. Jokic was fine. Jamal Murray looked excellent. Millsap, yeah, he did his thing defensively, struggled a little bit. And most of what we saw from the Nuggets, I thought, tied into what we were expecting to see, which is always good when that happens. The last thing I want to look at here is the Clippers and a few of their things. Toby Harris looked great. Danilo Gallinari, the Rooster, he played 30 minutes. That is obviously an awesome sign. Patrick Beverley, only 25 minutes, but filled the box score. 12, 4, and 5. Three steals, two blocks. I love him as a late pick. Really, really love that value there. While Avery Bradley struggled along, and I don't think you should be touching Avery Bradley in standard leagues. While Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 10 points, four assists, four steals and a block in 24 minutes. He should be getting minutes over Bradley at some point this season. I'd probably not a standard league guy, but absolutely someone to watch. While Lou Williams had just 10 points in 23 minutes. I think Williams' value is going to take a significant hit this season. We saw a tweet that Boban Marjanovic was the second string center in practice. I didn't believe that that was going to be the case. It wasn't the case here. The table Montrezl Harrell took that backup role, had 10 and 7 in his 20 minutes, and he is a strong late round pick. While Marcin Gortat was pretty okay, 12 and 9. I think he's pretty low upside though, Gortat, and I do think that Harrell will take that job at some point. Ty Wallace, the list manager, and Jerome Robinson, they play just 1 minute each. So at this point, it feels pretty safe to say they are out of the rotation, as is Miloš Teodosic, who didn't play at all. And Mike Scott replaced Sindarius Thornwell from that second unit tweet that we saw the other day from Jovan Buha of the Athletic, who was covering the Clippers. So that's just some quick hits on some of the things we saw over the last few days in the preseason. I'll be tweeting out some thoughts, and you can always ask me questions at redrock_Beeble. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, you know the drill. Follow along the Locked On Network at Locked On NBA Net and Basketball Monster at Bask Monster. Go and become a member before your fantasy draft is ready to kick off. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Spencer Dinwiddie.